Last year, while she was still Poet Laureate, Carol Ann Duffy wrote a sonnet to mark the centenary of the armistice. It was titled, "The Wound in Time." It is the wound in time. The century's tides, chanting their bitter psalms, cannot heal it. Not the war to end all wars, death's birthing place, the earth nursing its ticking metal eggs, hatching new carnage. But how could you know? Brave as belief, as you boarded the boats, singing the end of God in the poisonous shrapneled air, poetry gargling its own blood. We sense it was love you gave your world for, the town squares silent, awaiting their cenotaphs. What happened next? War. And after that? War. And now? War. War. History might as well be water chastising this shore, for we learn nothing from your endless sacrifice, your faces drowning in the pages of the sea. Some criticized Carol Duffy for being too bleak. Journalist Charles Moore wrote, "While there is always war somewhere, the idea that we learn nothing from what happened is simply not true. Much more than with any other period in our history, we do remember," he concluded. Well, whatever our poets and our journalists may think and write, all of us deal with suffering and remembering each day. Sometimes our suffering is intense. Sometimes it is mild. Sometimes our remembrance is strong. Sometimes it weakens and fades. And sometimes poetry and journalism are agents of healing and reconciliation. Other times, words pick at scars and reopen wounds, or they may stir the pot of enmity. St. Paul, long ago, was as conscious of pain and suffering as we are. He understood what it felt like to be weak and vulnerable in the face of overwhelming strength. But his faith in God and in his Savior, Jesus, gave him a perspective of hope, not despair, and a determination to love rather than to hate. The way that St. Paul achieved this kind of poise and confidence was by trusting in God and in the purposes of God. So to the Christians in Rome, who it seems were undergoing some threat to their lives through some persecution, he wrote this: "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. So Paul, it seems, opened his eyes and stared reality in the face. And he perceived around him and tried to find meaning and hope in the apparent meaninglessness and hopelessness of suffering. He went on to write this: "We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, daughtership, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have, we'll wait for it patiently." And St. Paul, I think, looked within at his own experiences of wrestling with his limitations. You may recall he famously wrote to the church in Corinth about his struggles with what he called his thorn in the flesh. We have no idea what that was, but he gave it a lot of thought and prayer, didn't find it easy, struggled with it, and the challenges it brought to his faith. And I think, digging deep into his own resources, he was able to write these words to the Roman Christians: "In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." You don't know how to pray? So what? Pray without words. Pray with your groans. But then St. Paul tried to rekindle some light in the darkness for his friends in Rome. And he suggested some ways that we might find our way through bad times and desolate experiences. He becomes more encouraging at this point. "We know," he says, "that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Now it seems to me this is not the same as the vapid, insipid philosophy we seem to hear these days, that everything happens for a reason. No, St. Paul is coming at this issue from a different perspective. This is a Christian writing about finding meaning in the good purposes of a loving God. That is not the same as everything happens for a reason. And it's St. Paul's appeal to the love of God that is the poetic conclusion of this part of his epistle to the Romans, in which he compiles a list of experiences, powers, and dimensions, none of which he claims can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We've heard them read, let me read them again to conclude these thoughts. "No," says Paul, "in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." It's a statement of faith. Maybe we need to convince ourselves a little more of its meaning. on this Remembrance Sunday, and in all our remembering, may the light of Christ penetrate our darkness, and may the love of Christ reach us with its everlasting embrace. May we find comfort and strength in our faith to speak the poetry of peace and to bring the words of reconciliation to our world. Amen.